U.S. Border Patrol and Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents have new orders for dealing with illegal immigrants they might encounter. Under the president's immigration plan, agencies are supposed to ask illegals if they might qualify for deferred deportation. And now Homeland Security has furnished immigrants with three complaint hotlines they can call if they feel they've been treated unfairly. There's one for Customs and Border Protection, one for ICE, and one for Citizenship and Immigration Services. For all this, how all this can possibly work, we turn to David North. He's a senior fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies. Mr. North, thanks so much for joining me.
I'm glad to be there.
All right, let's talk about these hotlines. Is there precedent for this, for providing a federal hotline to people who, whatever you may think about them, are nevertheless in the country illegally?
There is. I'm rather more worried about this as a symbol of where the government is going than as a specific. I'm not sure that a huge number of people use these things, but it's a bad sign, and I would rather the money being spent, and you can't run those things without spending some money. It should be spent on alien travel money to help people go back to the countries where they belong in cases when they have essentially failed their deportation hearings. So I think it's an inappropriate expenditure of money. I don't find it terribly alarming. I find the basic policy of this administration alarming about creating an administrative technique for legalization rather than going through the Congress. I happen to be the guy that the Ford Foundation picked some 3 years ago to look at the previous legalization program, which had been passed by Congress, signed by the president, was pretty much a consensus activity, misbegotten perhaps, but a consensus activity. And I worry that money is being spent on the wrong kind of thing.
All right, so how could a hotline like this affect the Border Patrol agents and the ICE agents that deal with people that are here illegally?
Oh, probably
whatever
irritates
reason.
Them. You know, they'd rather have the money spent elsewhere, and I find it, you know, totally expected that they would be unhappy about this, and they shouldn't be made unhappy about this.
All right, so if someone, I guess it's too early to tell whether these hotlines are having any effect or who's going to call them, but what would be a good mechanism, do you think, for the United States, for the government, to kind of make transparent what it is, the type of information they're getting on a line like this?
Well, that's a problem because you're promising the person who's calling, you're promising that person privacy. You certainly couldn't be issuing, you know, names and Social Security numbers. I suppose they could do a daily count saying there were these kinds of complaints, but these would be, of course, reports of complaints, not a decision made following the review of a complaint. It's a pretty one-sided sort of document. I'm not sure that publishing the results of this would be terribly helpful. They certainly should be made available, but I'm not terribly fond of this program, and I don't think it should be expanded, elaborated upon, and so forth.
All right, now, so the latest development, of course, is that a federal judge in
right.
Texas has put everything on hold because he said the 26 states suing over this have standing.
Right.
Does that mean that these hotlines can or cannot necessarily continue?
I don't have the detail on that, but if the administration is not accepting applications, it would be consistent to close down the hotline. And the administration is not accepting applications for the administrative amnesty, which is a good thing. That may be turned around in a day or a week or a month by the Circuit Court of Appeals. The district court judge, incidentally, is probably the southernmost judge in all of the United States. He's in Brownsville, Texas, which is right there where the Rio Grande flows into, well, within 20 miles of where the Rio Grande flows into the Gulf of Mexico.
So, in other words, he's close to where a lot of the
hot point here is. I'm sure the case was filed knowing something about that judge and knowing something about how he has ruled in the past. It's called a court shopping or something like that.
David North is a senior fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies. And going back to the last time, tell us when that was and how it worked when you said Congress developed the law and the president signed it.
That was the Immigration Reform and Control Act of 1986, IRCA, passed by both houses. I think there was a Democratic House and a Republican Senate, and signed by President Reagan, who didn't have much to do with this. He sort of presided over it, and he wasn't a leader as Obama is currently. So that program laid out a way that multiple ways, it was complicated, that illegal aliens could, or some illegal aliens could become legalized. And that program went on for a couple of years, produced about 3 million beneficiaries, many of which, particularly in the farm worker part of that program, were fraudulent. The government started out with a pretty tough stance on the applications, but pretty soon was sort of overwhelmed by all this, and toward the end didn't really fight the fraud the way they should have. But at least it was a it was run by the Justice Department, and which is playing the role of a judicial agency and making decisions rather than the role of a cheerleader, which is what the Department of Homeland Security has become in the current days.
So if the proponents of this change that the president has proposed that is now on hold, mm-hmm. say that the immigration system is broken, is it a broken system or is it an instrument that people just don't pick up and play?
It's an instrument that people don't pick up and play. I mean, we have a perfectly valid immigration admission control and deportation system, and problem is that the administration isn't interested in the deportation and control part. So we're going to see a whole lot of people getting themselves legalized who certainly shouldn't be, and I worry about that. And we're going to add millions and millions of people to our population, to our legal population, if you will, folks who largely don't have very much in the way of skills, decent folk in most cases, criminals and some others. And we just don't need the added population.
All right. David North is a senior fellow at the Center for Immigration Studies. Thanks so much for joining me.
You're welcome.